You may speak to us very powerfully through your scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I thought I'd come down to you today because I think we're going to do a lot of this together, if that's okay, because Martin did set out this morning and unfortunately didn't make it here. But I had some thoughts that I quickly jotted down at about 6 o'clock this morning, so hopefully we'll get somewhere together. I would love you to turn to Mark in your pew Bibles, and it's the first bit of the first chapter that we're looking at. Today is second Sunday of Advent. We very much think about the prophets and John the Baptist who came to prepare the way for Jesus' birth and for us to know about Jesus, really, about the Messiah. And I can tell you today, I think lots of people have been trying to prepare the way for us all to get here. And I know Maureen was out the front first thing this morning at 8:30. I was sent a picture of her shoveling the snow out of the way, preparing for people to come in. Unfortunately, the snow had other ideas, and it's been covered over again. And Madeline's here, and you've all drawn together. We've had to think of other ways, because that's the thing. When we prepare sometimes, our plans and things like that, God, the world, and other people have a way of messing them up a bit. This time of Advent, as I've told all those children, I've had a lovely time with the Christmas journey. In the Christmas journey, we've been preparing those children through the journey of what the Christmas story is all about for Christmas and what Christmas is really about. So I start off with them at the back. I get to open an Advent calendar. I get to eat a lot of chocolate, to be honest, to begin with, as they come into the church. We talk about what Advent might mean. And one of the things I tell them is it's about waiting and getting ready for Christmas. And that's really what we all do, isn't it? Lent gives us time to reflect and fast and get ready for Easter. So Advent gives us a time to reflect and get ready for Christmas, to kind of turn Christmas from how it's been turned into in our crazy world, if you like. I wonder how prepared you are all for Christmas. I can tell you, I'm so not prepared. I'm prepared for here, which is great. I'm prepared for the things I do at the hospice as well. But I'm really not prepared for my lovely, lovely family. And they are starting to nag and talk to me about what we're going to do, who's going to do what, and all that kind of thing. And sometimes it seems that Christmas has been kidnapped by the preparation of all the other things we have to do. I mean, we only have to walk into a supermarket or a shop and things are presented to us of things we just can't do without. For example, chocolate, turkey, more food than you can ever eat in your lifetime, let alone a day at Christmas. All the presents that we might need, all those extra gadgets that we think we might want, clothes, all sorts of things. So many things presented to us of how we might prepare for that greatest day of Christmas. And unfortunately, all those plans and everything we can put in the way can sometimes mean that it doesn't reach our expectations. It's very frustrating, I think. And also, we've talked about before, Advent is a time of waiting. We wait for so many things. I was reflecting on that as I sat in the hospice, waiting with someone towards the end of their life. We wait for so many things throughout our whole life. Even at the end, we are waiting. So this time of Advent, we get to focus perhaps more on the waiting and preparing. Waiting for perhaps what God has to say for us. Preparing for that time, not just to remember the birth of Jesus, but also to remember when we say those things in the communion prayer, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And it's that Christ will come again that we think of and get our heads around at this time. And that's really what John was saying. If you look at it, he was this marvellous character. I wonder if you've ever had a picture of him in your mind about what he might look like. I kind of think he might have looked slightly crazy with his camel hair, eating his locusts and honey. Very unusual, I think, at that time, living out in the desert. I wonder how the people felt when they heard him talking. Perhaps he commanded, perhaps he had a presence, he commanded. Perhaps in that region they really knew about him, knew who he was. For he was Jesus' cousin, and he had come to prepare the way. And his message was this. As it says in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths for him. And there we see John the Baptist coming, baptizing, talking, telling of someone who would follow him, which we all know to be Jesus. But I wondered what that news felt like for those people, those first people hearing him talking about that. This is what they'd learnt about in their temple. They'd heard all about this Messiah that was going to come. They had great expectations that this was someone who was going to rescue them from the Romans, rescue Jerusalem, save them. They thought he would come with armies, he'd be commanding and everything. And we know differently. We know that Jesus came in that, as that small baby, a very small and humble package, to come and lead us and to unfold that wonderful story that the prophets had told so long ago. And I wonder how we think about how we are preparing this Advent time. And I'm going to give you a moment just to look at that and think to yourself, how am I preparing, ready for Jesus this time, this year, in the next couple of weeks? How are you doing that? How might you do that? I was also thinking, as I read that and thinking about preparation and waiting, that actually we are so lucky that we actually have a God who prepares the way and who waits for us as well. He sent Jesus at that exact moment that he had planned for it to happen. And we have a God also that waits for us. Waiting is part of who he is, I think. He offers us his word, like we've heard this morning, and then waits for us to read it. In his word, he offers us promises, and then waits for us to find them and claim them. He offers us salvation, and then he waits for each of us individually to turn and receive it. He offers us his love and waits for us to realize it and accept it. And he offers us his Holy Spirit, waits for us to understand the power and the blessing that's available to us to use. Our God is a God who offers and waits for a response, who prepares us and waits for us to realize. And God's waiting, that I don't feel, diminishes God in any way. It's not possible, really, to diminish who he is. And he's way more awesome than we can ever imagine. But I love this thought, and I don't have them very often, of him waiting for us as we wait for him. God's waiting for us contains his respect for each and every one of us, his willingness to give us a freedom of choice. and his acceptance of our choice. Whatever we have decided, and however long it takes us to make our decisions. Our reading today tells us how John the Baptist came preparing the way for Jesus. The one, as I've said, that the world was waiting for. The one who God, if you like, had been waiting that whole time to send. We hear in Genesis about the Word, and the Word we hear in John in that very famous reading about the Word waiting. It was waiting from the beginning of time for that time when Jesus would come. Elsewhere in the Bible, of course, we have all the preparation we need to accept Jesus into our lives, to hold on to him, to remember that time when we did that. And God's promises are for a hope and a future. And we know in the Christmas story, as he comes as a baby and asks us to wait until he comes again, that he's never going to leave us. That as we live and prepare to live more closely, because that's what this preparation time gives us a chance to do, to live more closely and get to know him and draw closer to him in our preparations. He gives us a chance and offers to us that ability that even when we can't find the prayers, he knows what's on our heart. He has promised to love us no matter what we do and how we are and how angry we might be at him. And finally, he has the greatest offer and promise to us all, his presence with us through all eternity. This Christmas gives us a chance and this Advent time to remind ourselves, to remember that we have a God who put the stars in place, a God himself who left heaven to come and be with us, who chose to become vulnerable, defenseless, to need to be just as a baby, to be cared for. He chose to come down to earth, to suffer just like us, to know for himself what you and I all go through in our lives, so that we could understand that he knows how we feel. So today, in the midst of everything, hopefully there's been some things that have sparked in this very muddled thoughts of mine, that today we can wait for the Lord. We can prepare all our Christmas things, but let's also prepare ourselves for all he has in the new year and in our lives. What is he waiting for each and every one of us to go forward, perhaps calling to? And as a church, we have a time, we've prepared with the profile, and we are waiting for who will come next. But most of all, he's waiting for us to take another step with him in our relationship. He's prepared that way already. So let's, together as a church, together as individuals, just take some moments in Advent, and I'm certainly talking to myself, as we wait patiently on the Lord. Also prepare for whatever he brings, for he is a God of surprises and a God of waiting. Amen.